Today, our guest is Dr. Rachel Levine. She is the Assistant Secretary for Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. She was nominated by President Joe Biden and confirmed by the U.S. Senate in 2021. Levine was previously Pennsylvania's Health Secretary and is the sixth four-star admiral in the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corp history. After graduating from Harvard College and Tulane University School of Medicine, Levine completed her training in pediatrics and adolescent medicine at the Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York City. As a physician, she focused on the intersection between mental and physical health, treating children, adolescents, and young adults. Dr. Levine was a professor of pediatrics and psychiatry at the Penn State College of Medicine, and her previous roles included vice chair for clinical affairs at the Department of Pediatrics and chief of the Division of Adolescent Medicine and Eating Disorders at the Penn State Hershey Medical Center. Last year, when Dr. Levine was sworn in as a four-star admiral, she made history as the first openly transgender four-star officer in any of the nation's eight uniformed services. Admiral Levine, it is an honor and privilege to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here. And hello to all of your listeners. I'm excited to join this very interesting and meaningful conversation about diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Thank you so much. So first, since we are talking about race, identity, bias, and since we are on a podcast where people can't see us, can you tell us about your background and how you identify yourself?
Sure. Well, as you pointed out in your wonderful introduction, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. And I have the pleasure and privilege of serving as the Assistant Secretary for Health at the Department of Health and Human Services and the head of the United States Public Health Service. It is really, truly an honor to have been confirmed by the Senate. As you pointed out, I'm the first openly transgender individual in a Senate-confirmed position. And I'm very thankful to have this opportunity and to be in this position because I want to affect meaningful change in many different points of view, but particularly to advance health equity for everyone, including the LGBTQI community. And I hope that my appointment symbolizes for the LGBTQI community how far we've come and hope for the future.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I truly inspired just reading your background and bio, and I was really excited to be talking to you today. My hope is that through the stories and experiences of individuals in healthcare from diverse interprofessional backgrounds, we'll be able to be inspired and learn from and understand the value of having diversity within healthcare teams. I was just curious if you can start us out by what inspired you to be where you are now as the Assistant Secretary for Health in the United States Department of Health and Human Services. And I think you mentioned a little bit of that already, but I'd just love to hear a little bit of your story and how you got here.
Sure. Well, you know, I have really always tried to dedicate my life and my career to helping people and to helping people live healthy and fulfilling lives. So, you know, I always found my career in academic medicine to be tremendously rewarding because from many different perspectives and points of view, I had the ability to help people. So I would see patients, I would see teenagers and young adults and try to help them and their families. I would teach medical students and residents and other physicians and other medical providers how to see children and teenagers and the different aspects of their care. I had the opportunity to perform clinical research about how to do that better and then develop administratively programs where we could do that more efficiently. And so I found that was just the most rewarding career you could have. In terms of coming to public service, I really had the opportunity to join Governor Wolf's administration in 2015 as the Physician General and then in 2017 to be the Secretary of Health. And now I've had the amazing opportunity to become the Assistant Secretary for Health for President Biden and the Biden-Harris administration. And so my goal is to help people and to do that with a public health perspective, to do it with that broader public health brush. You know, I, as you mentioned, I've always been particularly interested in the intersection of physical health and behavioral health and mental health issues. And so that is serves as the context for many of the patients that I saw in academic medicine, in adolescent medicine, and seeing teens and young adults with eating disorders and other conditions. And so I've brought that expertise to public health in addressing health disparities and particularly in addressing substance use disorders and the opioid overdose crisis, both in Pennsylvania and now here in my position at HHS.
That's really wonderful. You know, I represent our Office of Interprofessional Education and Practice, and so we are made up of the colleges of medicine, public health, pharmacy, nursing, and others. And we have an annual meeting, and we look at some of the topic areas that cut across all professions. And the opioid crisis was one that we focused on right before COVID as such an important area, and it's wonderful. It's really actually, one, amazing to see how every single health profession is impacted and can make a difference. And I really applaud you for pursuing that at the national level, as you started at a one-to-one person level, and now you're really doing it at a policy level. So it's really wonderful.
Thank you so much.
So, you know, as I mentioned in your introduction, you made history as the first openly transgender four-star officer in any of the nation's eight uniformed services. This was such an incredible milestone in our nation's history, but I'm sure this was not at all easy at times. What type of pushback did you face as a transgender person in your role, and how did you deal with the bias? And also, if you can just describe what advice you might give to individuals dealing with discrimination and bias, specifically for LGBTQ community listening.
Well, thank you for that question. You know, I am very proud but humbled to be the first trans person in a Senate-confirmed position and to serve as the first transgender four-star admiral in any of the uniformed services. You know, I really go back to what Vice President Harris has said, who's also, of course, a trailblazer, that I may be the first, but I am really heartened by the knowledge that I will not be the last.
Absolutely.
I think that there are a number of different issues in terms of the challenges that LGBTQI people face, and particularly transgender individuals face. And I think some of it is that people in general fear the unknown. They fear what they don't understand. And for some people, issues of sexual orientation and gender identity are something that is beyond at least their known experience. And so they tend to fear that. And so I hope to bridge that gap by serving in this position. I think the more we educate people, the more that they see that LGBTQI people, and specifically in this case, transgender individuals, are, you know, productive members of the community. We all have families. We all have lives. We all have careers. We serve the greater good in so many different ways that people will understand us and not fear us. And that will lead to less discrimination and bias. But it's something that I think we have to work on. I am really excited for the progress that I can make, both through my advocacy, but also through policy changes and dealing with healthcare biases, health disparities, as we were talking about, for many communities, but particularly for the LGBTQI plus community. You know, I guess in terms of my advice, what I've always tried to do is to stay calm and centered, because we all face difficult challenges, and none more so now with COVID-19 and the global pandemic. And so I've often talked about the eye of the hurricane.
Yeah.
The hurricane itself, as a metaphor for all of life's challenges that we all face, is chaotic and stormy and extremely difficult. But in the eye, mm-hmm. you can remain calm and centered. There are many different ways to do that, and everybody comes to it themselves. You can do that through meditation and mindfulness. You can do that through your faith. You can do mm-hmm. it through music, art, physical activity. There's infinite number of different ways to be able to try to stay calm and centered. Mm-hmm. But what I want to tell others in the LGBTQI plus community is that there is a place for you in America. There's a place for you in our government.
Mm-hmm.
That our quote unquote more perfect union includes you too. And that President Biden and the administration has your back. And I have your back. And we will continue to advocate for the most vulnerable mm-hmm. in our community.
That's really wonderful. We have a lot of our listeners are students. We have across all professions, as well as residents, and then our practicing healthcare providers as well. And we are now in over 40 countries. This podcast is in over 40 countries and 40 states. So we're very proud of that. And I really appreciate how you first look to yourself and look within, because you really only have control over your own self and how you react or think about the external environment. So I really do appreciate that. We've interviewed others that really talk about that to help ground them. I wanted to sort of pivot a little bit and ask about, and this came up with, I was interviewing Dr. Penny Cook, who's our Associate Dean for Public Health. And she talked about the importance also of just leaders. So people that, many of our students that might come from, communities of color or disability ability or LGBTQI communities are looking for people that look like themselves or identify similar to themselves in leadership roles and really aspiring. And I'm curious, maybe if you had a little twist on the question is, what kind of advice do you have for other leaders within the LGBTQI community to really help guide other folks along this path?
Sure. Well, I agree with you. I think it is very important for those that are fortunate enough to have the opportunity to be leaders in medical fields and, mm-hmm. of course, other fields. To be that role model.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes with the territory, and I've always accepted that, that I would do the very best I can, given the opportunities that I have had, to advocate, mm-hmm. again, for vulnerable populations, and that includes the LGBTQI community, but not exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that I from a health equity and health disparities lens, both in Pennsylvania and in the federal government, are advocating for health equity for everyone, mm-hmm. including particularly communities of color, the African American community, mm-hmm. the Latinx community, mm-hmm. the American Indian Native Alaska community, and others. And so I think that it really is incumbent upon us for that advocacy and to work towards the common good and to use our positions to help people. And mm-hmm. that's what I've always tried to do.
Absolutely. So to pivot a little bit towards patients now, because we are talking about healthcare teams in our podcast. And according to the American Heart Association, 56% of LGBTQI adults and 70% of those who are transgender or gender nonconforming report experiencing some form of discrimination from a healthcare professional. And those are really big and shocking numbers. What can we do as healthcare professionals to better serve our transgender or LGBTQI community?
Well, I think that those are big numbers and shocking statistics, and it is incumbent upon healthcare professionals and the broader medical community mm-hmm. To do better, to serve vulnerable communities, to serve the LGBTQI communities, specifically the transgender community, but again, others, as I mentioned, the African-American community, mm-hmm. Latinx community, American Indian Native Alaska community as well. I mean, there is often a history of mistrust within minority underserved populations, mm-hmm. and that's derived from experience and unfortunate discrimination that these communities have faced. And that impacts outcomes. One quarter of LGBTQI people who face discrimination postponed or avoided receiving necessary medical care because of further discrimination. So we must do better under President Biden's leadership, under Secretary Becerra's leadership, Secretary of Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. We will do better. We must close disparities in access and disparities in outcomes. We need to eliminate bias. Mm-hmm. that we're discussing in discrimination. We need to address these systemic barriers, including the barrier of systemic racism mm-hmm. that has contributed to these historic inequities. And so we are working to do that. I've had the honor of serving on the COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force. I'm co-chair of the Health Disparities Council mm-hmm. for Secretary Becerra. We are working in many different ways to close those health disparities. With COVID-19 in terms of testing, vaccination, et cetera, in terms of accessibility of healthcare in general. And I think for our LGBTQI plus community, we need to look to the most vulnerable among us. Mm. We have made progress, and we continue to make progress with this president and this administration. Mm-hmm. We are making progress, and we will continue to make progress. But we have to make progress for everyone. We have to make progress for LGBTQI, transgender youth are experiencing significant issues, you know, in many states. We need to address this for seniors, for LGBTQI plus immigrants, and particularly for LGBTQI plus individuals of color. Mm. And in the case of transgender individuals of color who are at risk not just of discrimination, but they are at risk of violence
right.
and murder, it is always so poignant mm-hmm. when we acknowledge Transgender Day of Remembrance and we look to those that have actually faced violence and murder in this country. And so we have to do better, and yeah. we will do better.
Wonderful. That's great to hear. I know you're extremely busy. I could ask you lots of questions. I have one final question for you. You've spoken about building a healthier future, and our podcast is focused on improving diversity in healthcare teams to help provide better care to diverse populations. What gives you hope for the future in LGBTQI plus healthcare, both looking across sectors as well as down to local communities?
Well, you know, I am a positive and optimistic person, and we certainly face challenges in healthcare in the United States and mm-hmm. the world. I mean, facing the biggest pandemic that the world has seen in 102 years, and we face so many other challenges. One of the things I'm trying to work on is the intersection of climate change mm-hmm. and health mm-hmm. and health equity. We have a new office for climate change and health equity to look at that. But I'm a positive person. So, for example, progressive conversations like that we're having now mm-hmm. Give me hope for the future of LGBTQI plus healthcare. And you know, our community faces challenges, but we have a very committed community, mm-hmm. we have a resilient community. So to me, the future looks brighter as we all work together. Mm-hmm. We have to do this together mm-hmm. to advocate and advance policies that ensure health equity for all, including the LGBTQI plus community. You know, COVID-19 has taught us, like nothing else possibly could have, how interconnected we all truly are, mm-hmm. that the decisions that each and the actions that each of us make impact our family, they impact our community.
For sure.
They impact our nation and they impact the world. So I think, you know, now that the new year, 2022, we look to where we've come. We have to look and plan to where we're going. And we have to work for the common good.
Wonderful. I look forward to seeing great things over the coming year. It's got to be better than last year for sure. And so our guest has been Dr. Rachel Levine. In addition to her recent positions in medicine and government, Admiral Levine is an accomplished speaker and author of numerous publications on the opioid crisis, adolescent medicine, eating disorders, and LGBTQI+ medicine. Dr. Levine, thank you so much for joining us today on Healthcare Superteams.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear more about here on Healthcare Superteams, let us know. Our email is ipep@usf.edu, ipep@usf.edu. Until next time, I'm Haruo Okuda. Thank you for joining us on Healthcare Superteams.